Welcome to Women on the Line, one of Community Radio's National Feminist Current Affairs programs produced by women and gender diverse broadcasters at 3CR Community Radio in Melbourne on unceded Kulin lands and broadcasted nationally on the Community Radio Network. I'm your host, Sen Yao. On today's show, we are covering the latest updates on treaty across Kulin Nation. Earlier this month, Victoria became the first Australian state to table treaty legislation in Parliament, which has been in development for almost a decade. The statewide treaty bill proposes to make the First People's Assembly of Victoria permanent and expand its responsibilities to deliver better outcomes for First Peoples in Victoria. We'll hear from Sue Ann, Wurundjeri and Ngarrai Ilam Wurrung woman, who is the Deputy Chair and Commissioner of the Yurok Justice Commission. She delivered a speech at the Women's Rights at Work conference, held at Vic Trades Hall on Friday, 5th of September. Her speech covers how union members can play a vital role in supporting meaningful solidarity in their workplaces and communities for treaty. She covers the key findings of the Commission's report and steps towards treaty in Victoria. Let's hear from Sue Ann.
This is my first week in the National Commissioner role, and like I've literally just come back from Canberra, and it's a lot. And I'm like, oh God, I was always coming. I was always, if I say yes, I will turn up. So just be rest assured. So I just want to thank you for inviting me. We delivered our final report the 1st of July? It was the 31st. But see, the time, even a week has got me out. But it feels like a while ago now, because I feel like, and to Minister's credit, just taking it and ran with it and really getting treaty through. So thank you for your hard work alongside our people. I don't... Who else is in the room? I've got to be careful. I wouldn't say there's a... Well, I would say there's probably not a better minister that we could stand long and do this. And coming back into the portfolio has really been a blessing for our people. So thank you. Now, I didn't give you slides because I was running late on the slide thing. So I'm sorry, I have to look at my ugly mug the whole time. So as we gather in this historic Trades Hall, a place where workers have fought for justice for over 150 years, we must recognise the struggle for workers' rights and First Peoples' rights are deeply interconnected. The same systems that exploit workers have dispossessed First Peoples of their lands, of their children, of their sovereignty. So I'm going to talk a bit about truth, justice and transformation and what you can do as unionists and activists in this space and how we can do genuine solidarity, not just token allyship, but how we can really work together. And we can't do this alone, key fact. First Peoples make up 1% of Victoria's population, yet we face the massive over-representation in the child protection system, criminal justice system. So it's not history, it's happening right now and we need you. So you, as unionists, understand systemic injustice and know what it's like to fight for powerful the systems that exploit and oppress us. Today I'm going to ask you to bring that same fighting spirit to stand with First Peoples on the path to treaty. I know, I feel like I need to be...
I can do something.
Do you want to do interpretive dance?
I'll happily.
We've got this. And Minister, if you feel like you need to do some as well, feel free to... feel free to step in. For those of you who don't know, Yurok word is Wamba Wamba word for truth, and we were established in 2021. It just feels, it went so quick. It was originally 3 but 4 years. And we created through a partnership with Victorian Government and the First Peoples Assembly of Victoria. So over those 4 years, we held over 400 community events and hearings across Victoria, visited communities statewide, creating culturally safe spaces, received thousands of submissions, personal stories, historical records, artwork, and oral testimonies. We heard from First Peoples, but also premiers and ministers, police, healthcare workers, educators, and so much more. We created a permanent historical record through multiple reports. And there's four reports. So I'm going to ask you at some point in your time to actually go to our website. It's not even ours. I can't even say ours. It's not mine anymore. Go to the website and have a look at those. So our first report was York with Purpose in 2022. Set the foundation and methodology for York. York for Justice in 2023. That focused on criminal justice and child protection systems. And I think I spoke about this previously in this room, actually. And then there's York for Transformation, which is our recent report. There's five volumes, just a small little read there. That covered land injustice, health, education. A lot. How's that?
And the rest.
And we didn't actually get to everything because it's such a huge. There were so many. I hate the word themes, but I'm going to use it. There were so many themes that come up that people wanted us to address. It's a lot to do in 4 years, but that ongoing truth-telling is going to happen. And then we had our fourth one, York, which is Truth Be Told, 2025. And it's written so beautifully, I think, and I really encourage people to go and read that as well, and it gives a quite historic, in-depth understanding. There was a complete key findings with a detailed analysis within that as well. I'm not sure if anybody's looked at those findings. We found that First Peoples had an unbroken sovereignty. So pre-colonisation, Victoria was home to 60,000 First Peoples comprising 300 to 500 clan groups speaking over 400 languages. That means we exercised our sovereignty through sophisticated governance, law, management systems, and basically sovereignty was never ceded through treaty or conquest. And why it matters? Because all Victorian law and government operates on stolen land without legal foundation. This creates the moral and legal imperative for treaty. Finding two, colonisation included acts of genocide. Now, this can be controversial depending on how you look at it. And I think all First Peoples will say that it was genocide. If you look at the acts, we may not have spelt it out correctly in your legal arguments, but it's there. The Commission documented over 100 massacre sites across Victoria, deliberate poisoning of water holes and flour rations, forced removal of children to breed out Aboriginality, prohibition of language, cultural practices punishable by imprisonment, deliberate introduction of diseases, starvation through denial of access to traditional food resources. Now, if that's not genocide, I don't know what is then. These weren't random acts of violence, but systemic government-sanctioned attempts to eliminate First Peoples entirely. This isn't comfortable discussions, but I tell you, I feel bloody excited that we're going into the treaty process and that we can start to look back and make this never happen again. And why does it matter? Genocide isn't history. It impacts continue through intergenerational trauma and ongoing systemic discrimination today. Finding three, the child protection system as continuation of stolen generation. Need I say much more about that? And why does that matter? Because every 5 hours another Aboriginal child is removed from their family in Victoria. So that's real genocide in real time. The criminal justice system is designed to imprison First Peoples. The evidence is Aboriginal people are 14 times more likely to be in prison than non-Aboriginal Victorians. Children as young as 10 are being criminalised and imprisoned. Over 500 Aboriginal deaths in custody nationally since the 1991 Royal Commission. And police racism described as ongoing, undetected, unchecked and unpunished. Aboriginal women fastest growing prison population. And can I just say off the back of starting a new job, off the back of what has happened here in Victoria over the weekend, I walked into that new role with a really heavy heart for particularly the future children. And this is why we need the solidarity of others with us. Why it matters, because mass incarceration destroys families and communities, perpetuating cycles of trauma and disadvantage. Finding five is economic injustice and stolen wealth. Dispossession from land equals dispossession from wealth building opportunities. Stolen wages from Aboriginal workers never compensated. Current unemployment rates double the state average. employment discrimination persists across all sectors, and chronic underfunding of Aboriginal controlled services. It matters, it means poverty isn't cultural. It's the direct result of systemic theft and exclusion from the economy. Why does it matter? Because economic justice is impossible without addressing historical theft and current discrimination. Our sixth finding, and why am I going through these findings? Because you need to understand them, because if you're going to stand in solidarity with us and work towards treaty, these are the things that, I'm going to give you some practical stuff too. I feel like I'm telling you off because I haven't really seen my daughter this week and I need to shut someone off. I know it's bad. Health systems perpetuates racial disparities. Life expectancy gap is of 8 to 9 years. Infant mortality rates double non-Indigenous rates. Preventable disease as rates comparable to developing nations. Widespread racism in healthcare settings is documented and real. And mental health services fail to address intergenerational trauma. So what this means is the health system itself makes First Peoples sick through racism and cultural incompetence. Why it matters? Because health inequality is a direct result of systemic racism, not individual choices. There's the housing crisis and homelessness, and I do understand this affects everybody, but what it means for us and what we saw at the Commission was Aboriginal people 10 times more likely to be homeless. Discrimination in private rental market is documented, and public housing failures particularly impact Aboriginal families. Direct link between child removal and housing instability and severe overcrowding in available housing. And why does this matter? Because housing insecurity is weaponised to justify child removals and criminalisation. Stable housing is fundamental to addressing all the other inequalities. Minister, could you fix that one for us? Thanks. Education system fails First Peoples. So our curriculum erases or misrepresents First Peoples' history. Racist bullying inadequately addressed in schools. Lower expectations for Aboriginal students from teachers. Suspicion expulsion rates disproportionately high. Cultural knowledge devalued and excluded. So what this means is schools continue to assimilation project teaching Aboriginal children their culture is inferior. And why does it matter? Because education should empower, not assimilate. Current system perpetuates disadvantage. And I'll probably maybe oversharing, but I'm going through that with my daughter at the moment at her current school. And I've been through it previously. And I've been through it myself, not only at primary school and high school, but also at university, which I'm currently still at. But ongoing cultural destruction. So language is beaten out of children in missions and schools. Sacred sites destroyed for development projects. Cultural practices criminalised well into the 20th century. Elders prevented from passing on knowledge. I learned my knowledge from my nan through her videos. Thank God my dad took lots of videos. And that's the only way I can learn from her. Cultural intellectual property stolen and without compensation. So what this means, cultural genocide didn't stop. It adapted to modern methods. And why it matters, because cultural identity, health and well-being, its destruction is violence. Finding 10, a pattern of government betrayal, chronic underfunding, lack of transparency in government decision-making. But we don't need to worry about that because that's still changing now. Failure to implement recommendations from dozens of previous inquiries, continued paternalistic approach despite self-determination rhetoric, and refusal to share real power or adequate resources. And this is why we need to push as far as we can for treaty, because I think this one is very much achievable.
On community radio around Australia, you are listening to Women on the Line. Today we are covering the latest updates on treaty in Victoria, which was tabled into Parliament on the 9th of September. We hear from Sue Ann, Wurundjeri and Ngarrai Ilam Wurrung woman, who is the Deputy Chair and Commissioner of the Yurok Justice Commission. She delivered a speech at the Women's Rights at Work conference held at VicTrades Hall on Friday, 5th of September. Her speech covers how union members can play a vital role in supporting meaningful solidarity in their workplaces and communities for treaty. Let's continue to hear from Sue Ann.
The 100 recommendations for transformation, there was the criminal justice reform, child protection transformation, structural and constitutional change, truth and accountability. I'm not going to go through all of them, otherwise we'll be here forever. I think what it means in Victoria is probably better to see. So treaty isn't charity or symbolism. It's about redistributing power and resources to First Peoples control so they can control their own destinies. Is that all right? Yeah, okay, just checking in here. We're on the same page. She's going to tell me off later. I can see. Perfect, thank you. Okay. I'm not in the state anymore. I'm in the Commonwealth now, so I'm kind of getting as much trouble. Although, the First Peoples Assembly is a democratically elected body of 33 traditional owner representatives. It might be more now, but I'm going to double check that. Two elections held in 2019 and 2023, currently negotiating the first statewide treaty, which is reality, and seeking transformation, not consultation. So what's being negotiated? Decision-making powers, real authority, not just advisory roles, independent institutions, First Peoples controlled services, economic... Sorry, I thought you were telling me to hurry up, she's taking a photo. Economic justice, land returns, water rights, resource sharing, cultural authority, protection of sacred sites, language revival, and repatriations framework addressing historical and ongoing theft. This, you don't understand how exciting this is for us as First Peoples to actually have something so close, and we're nearly there. I don't like to preempt, but we're nearly there. And I'm excited because it's the start. It's not an end. It's the start of something new and the start of we don't know what, and because it's new and it's a first. And we may stumble and we may fall, but we're all going to get back up and keep fighting for what we need and what we want. So the Victorian Liberal Party vows to block treaty, calling it divisive and claiming it lacks transparency. They offer no alternative to address Aboriginal disadvantage. This opposition makes your solidarity more crucial. So why unions must act? The same colonial capitalism that dispossessed First Peoples exploits all workers. Racism divides the working class. Our liberation is interconnected. Canadian unions show the way. Unions show the way. Dedicated Aboriginal committees with budgets. With budgets, just throwing that out there. Organising drives in First Peoples workplaces. Anti-racism training that changes behaviour is not just a ticker box. And treaty acknowledgements in all agreements. Once it's up. Your union action plan, immediate workplace action. Start every meeting with an acknowledgement of country. Challenge racist comments. Silence is complicity. Support Aboriginal colleagues facing discrimination. Display Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander flags and create culturally safe spaces. These might seem tokenistic to you, but for us, they mean a lot. Do you know how much it means when I have, you know, either the young cousins and kids and my daughter with me, when they see a flag and they say, oh, they actually start to feel like they belong. And so you're opening up. It might be a little thing, but it actually means a lot. Structural union change. Establish First Peoples committees with real power. Real power. Dedicate organisers' positions for Aboriginal members. Ensure Aboriginal representative in leadership. Resource Aboriginal member education and partner with Aboriginal organisations where possible. This has been a bit cheeky, but an enterprise bargaining demand. September 30, we could call that Truth Day as paid leave. There's a suggestion. Throw that one out there. Cultural and ceremonial leave provisions, Aboriginal employment targets with support, anti-racism training for all staff, and procurement for Aboriginal businesses. And I know that it only takes one person to actually procure an Aboriginal business and they see the great job that they do to actually say, oh, who did that? And then it's a roll-on effect. Political change, campaign priorities, raise the age now. Support treaty, mobilise with when legislation comes. implement your RUC, the over 100 recommendations, stop black deaths in custody, and fund Aboriginal services properly, not tokenistically. This isn't about being saviours. This is about recognising our common enemy in systems of oppression and fighting this together. Asking Aboriginal members what they need, listen, resource their leadership. So a bit of a call to action to make it real. I don't like to leave people just saying, well, where do we go from here? Start the conversation. Take this to your next union meeting, your families, wherever, any groups you're in. Don't wait, start to make it real. I feel like I'm just telling you now, but anyway, I will. Pass this motion. This union supports the First Peoples Assembly in treaty negotiations, endorses all your RUC recommendations, and commits resources to Aboriginal justice campaigns. Thank you. I better see you do that now. You clapped, you have to do it. Get active. Follow First Peoples Assembly on all their socials, sign up to their newsletters, join the next treaty rally or go to their... There's another group, you were at that, what was that, treaty?
So there's Together for Treaty.
That's the one, yeah. Together for Treaty. They've got a lot happening. I saw a photo of you there, that's how I knew. We fangirl over each other, by the way. It's just really bad. It's really bad. And read the RUC reports online, because not only people generously gave their submissions and their stories, let's honour those by reading them and actually thinking about them, talking. We've actually also got a book club. Did you hear this one? There's a book club on the RUC reports. I've said to them, I want to come. I want to come and I just want to see what they've got to say, because, you know, feedback's always good. And then they're looking at the recommendations and how in their daily lives or in their workplace they can start to implement some of these recommendations. So the bottom line is every Aboriginal child removed is a worker's child stolen. Think about that. Every black death in custody is a union member killed. Every racist system that oppresses First Peoples weakens all workers. Solidarity means action. Justice delayed is justice denied. The time is now. So basically, what are you going to do about it? Nungojin.
And that's all for Women on the Line today. Today we heard from Sue Ann, Wurundjeri and Ngarrai Ilam Wurrung woman, who is the Deputy Chair and Commissioner of the Yurok Justice Commission. She delivered a speech at the Women's Rights at Work conference held at Vic Trades Hall on Friday, 5th of September. Her speech covered how union members can play a vital role in supporting meaningful solidarity in their workplaces and communities for treaty. She covered the key findings of the Commission's report and steps towards treaty in Victoria. You can learn more about treaty by visiting First Peoples Assembly of Victoria and the Yurok Justice Commission. Thanks to the Community Broadcasting Foundation for their financial support. The theme music for Women on the Line is by Ripley Kavara. I'm Senya, and tune in to Women on the Line next week on your local community radio station.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.